Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going
to
like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. We won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Bonnie, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever. Mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, huh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of
them. Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. Billy, what are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
Joe Dante, they'll be expecting you.
Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Stranger Things podcast, and this is a special presentation. Stay tuned.
Stranger Things today.
Absolutely.
Oh my god. So your overall thoughts on Stranger Things, because we're jumping right in.
Okay, perfect. Well, you know, it's like one of those things that for me the first season was really interesting because it picked and like sort of pick and choose through my childhood, and like it was almost immediately addicting in that way, just because so much nostalgia, so much, oh my god, I did that, so much, oh my god, that was exactly me and my group of friends or whatever. And then you layer that up down right on top of that. And yeah, it was just like one of those things that there's so many elements that made you want to find out what happens next.
Right. I mean, it's just so intriguing. There were just all the things there within the episodes and just within the series in general. Your favorite season so far, barring one of the seasons, and we're not going to say the reason why yet, but...
You know, I don't know. It's really hard, especially when you sort of binge watch a couple of the seasons together to sort of, you know what I mean? To sort of pick out, because the seasons flow so well together that it's not like I can say this. Obviously, I'm a big fan of those early, that, you know, 1-2 seasons, just because I myself really liked being that age. That age where, you know, everybody got together at somebody's house or you went on your bike, you know what I mean? Less like that early teen years, rather than the people start getting cars, people start, you know, going to the mall, going to parties, everything else. So for me, I really like early just because that was pinnacle Jenny's childhood right there.
Yeah, yeah. Same for me. When did you first discover the show? Like, I know the show came out in July of 2016. When did you first jump into it?
As it came out. It was like one of those things that people were talking about it.
Yeah.
So I had to check it out. And then, you know, the first couple of episodes, you have honestly no idea what to expect. And it was actually really scary. And I didn't know if I wanted to continue because I like had no idea how much of that sort of sci-fi horror element, jump scariness it was going to be. But then, you know what I mean? As you figured out what was happening, or, you know, sort of the direction it was going, it became less scary and more interesting.
Yeah. You know, for me, I started watching it literally almost immediately as well. And then probably about a month later, I was like, I'm going to do a podcast on this. You know, because this, like, of course, because that's what I do, right? So right. I'm just right into it. I'm like, yep, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be one of the first ones that does it. And then it's like right after that, I started seeing these flood of podcasts and things coming out. I'm like, yep, I was the first.
Nice.
And it was just one of those shows like, oh my goodness. And it's not only just because of the nostalgia factor, like, you know, some of which what you were talking about. For me and for pretty much everyone that watches the show, that's pretty much a thing for them, unless they didn't grow up in that time, then that's something different. But it's and I think it draws so many people because it's just so well written, and the production value for it to be a quote unquote streaming show, it really, really draws you in to, you know, from all different areas,
whether it's
the writing, the acting, just everything. And it really does flesh out a lot of the characters' arcs. You have these extremely unlikable characters at the very beginning, and some of them, and now they're like, oh wait a minute, they're some of the best characters now because they've taken the time to write to them. And I like that there's this level of they're writing for an 80s show, like for a show that was based out of the 80s, but it's from a perspective from today. So it's like, we get to correct all these things that were tropes or stereotypes or misogyny. We get to change all of these things. And I think you'll see a lot of that in season 4. And I'm saying it that way. Why am I saying it that way, Jenny? Why am I saying it that way? I'm putting you right out there.
Oh, man. Directly under the bus. Straight out the way. Okay. Because I'm a little behind.
My fans are going to kill me.
I know. No, Steven, I mean, the awesome thing is walking into this, you know, the new season coming up, it'll be a totally fresh perspective on things that you may have watched for 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 times. So,
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I'm going to balance that out a little bit. And, you know, the nice thing is it's a new voice and a new perspective rather than Tony just talking to himself some more.
That's right. Because I kind of like decided, like, maybe, just maybe, I can go back and rewatch these with you, watch them for the very first time.
Right.
And then I can kind of like come back and we can have a different conversation and it won't be the same things over and over again, you know. So I think that would be a really fun thing to do too. It's like watching you watch this this really great show for the first time, and because it's been so long in between the seasons, this next season 5, they're in production now, as I always like to say, right up the road from me, they are really diving in and they're kind of like coming full circle back to that season 1 and how it felt. And you can start to see a bit of that halfway through season 4. It's like everyone's kind of like, you know, they're all over the place, literally in some cases, all over the world. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but they're all over the place.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. They're over the place, and then it's kind of like they all start to gravitate back towards the central area, and the big baddies, and I'll tell you, some of the characters. What are your favorite characters out of the show? Of course, you haven't seen some of the new characters yet, but
right. I mean, you know, you have your core group of kids, and before I completely answer that, I'm gonna run back to where you said, you know, like they're sort of fixing some of those 80 tropes. But the nice thing is they might fix them to be a little bit more, they fix them so that they fit in the current era, but they leave them be in their pure 80-ness. So that when you watch it, like it's going to feel, it feels like the Goonies. It feels like Stand By Me. It feels like these kids going on adventures and stuff like that. Like they didn't take that part of the 80-ness out of it, which is
exactly.
It's sort of key to me.
And that's what I was saying. Yeah. To strike that balance and to be able to do that and to keep this almost pureness within it, but at the same time elevate it. To me, that was just some of the best writing, I think, you know, on television. And we sadly miss once it's gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's not going to stop you from watching it 43 more times, so.
Not even a little bit, no. Not even a little bit.
I'll go back to your last question then, and you know, obviously your core group of kids and adding in 11 in there, all solid favorites, but I really like that how they give us two main versions of momming in the 80s. I really enjoy Joyce while she's, you know, a single mom and struggling in there, and then we get, you know, Karen Wheeler married, stay at, you know, sort of that sort of traditional poor mom. But I really like how the two of them, you see that both sides of it, but then how much they care for their kids and how critical their roles are in how the story unfolds. I really like that.
Yeah. I mean, they literally give us a little bit of everything for everyone to look at it through their eyes on how they experienced life during that time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So your favorite characters, if you had to, I know you were talking about Joyce.
Can I just pick them all? Do I have to pick one?
Okay.
I mean, you know, maybe as we get talking, I'll pick one. But for right now, I'm going to go, like, just alls.
If you want to cheat, okay, that's fine.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate you giving me permission to pick my own favorite.
Not at all feeding into that whole misogynist. Not at all.
No.
Of course not. Yeah, but that, I'll tell you. I will say I'm going to pick two of my favorite characters. And some characters came and left, even in season four. So I'm not going to, you know.
I didn't miss it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Okay. All right. Maddox here a little bit, but
on whose part?
On yours, not mine. I'm always clear, and always. No, I like Steve and Nancy, and it's so funny because those were two of the almost unlikable characters at the very beginning of season one. It's like
absolutely,
but now it's like they, and that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying like. Their arc has completely changed and they've actually grown as characters and have learned from their mistakes and are correcting those things. I'm like, this is really good writing. It's like, you know, I see that and I'm like, oh, now you have these two people that were almost background characters. Now they're almost at the forefront and leading everything, not just because of their ages, but because of how much they've grown and they're leading these other children. But yet at the same time, what I really love about this show also is that the kids aren't doing these, I mean they are, but the adults are always there. They're always there. It's like sometimes like Ted, for example, he may not know what's going on.
Right.
And that was a regular 80s trope for parents.
Oh, for sure.
But you have Hopper, you have Joyce, and, you know, you have even the Sinclairs, whenever they're on screen with any amount of time, they are always engaging and they're always there to provide something. And I like seeing that. It's like, yeah, these kids are going through these things. They're battling, you know, whatever villain of the, you know, of the season, but they still have their adults be like, no, you're not doing this. No, you're not doing that. And that really happens through the end of season three, definitely going into season four. It's like, what a kid
do this? No. Right. I think the nice thing is that allows them to still be kids. You know, it doesn't sort of pretend that the parents just are nowhere to be found. They just live in houses and food appears, but they are kids. And this is something that they have to deal with in addition to the craziness.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, it's just well written over, and it kind of like it really considers everything, every point of view, everything, that every possibility. It's like, would this really happen? Because sometimes you see these shows and they're these huge, big budget shows or movies or whatever it is. And you'll see these things. It's like, yeah, they kind of like completely gloss over this whole thing that in reality, but I just love those. It's just those little moments.
Right.
We're bringing reality into this. Or,
well, yeah, it does. It does help that the only thing you have to sort of put on hold to be in that world is the supernatural part of it. Like, you're willing to put, you know, like, you're willing to believe that stuff because there's so little you have to quote unquote believe. You're just there and it's okay. You don't have to sit back and go, oh, wait, where are their parents? Oh, wait, why don't they ever go to school? Oh, wait, why did they grow up? You know what I mean? These aren't these things that you have to like decide, all right, it's fine that they never grow up. It's fine that literally we've never seen this person's mom, but okay. So
Exactly. And I love that, you know, because like I said, it just includes everything within the show. It includes everything. Oh, they have to go to school. We're going to include that.
Absolutely.
You know, they have to do this. Oh, we're going to include this.
Right.
It's so well written, and you don't see that a lot. It's like, okay, you know, I always bring up, and a lot of people, they don't like it, but I'm like, it's just like Friends. I'm like, really?
Right.
One of the most diverse places on the planet.
Right.
I haven't seen barely a person of color throughout the entirety of this show's run.
But those are the things, in order to enjoy it, you have to go, of course they can afford these things. Of course they could live here. Of course they have this much free time, because otherwise the whole show would just be a wash, because you'd just be like, nah, none of it makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the things I love about this show, and there's going to be a lot coming up. I can't wait to really dive into these episodes again, because I know I've been a little bit of a hiatus. So when this episode goes out, it'll be one of the first episodes that people have heard in quite some time. So
excellent.
So I think it'll be fun, and
yeah,
and I know that people probably want to hear more than just my voice all the time.
I mean, it is an awfully nice voice though.
Thank you. I've never heard that before. Never heard that before. Never.
Oh, well, today's the day.
All right. Well, enough of stroking my ego. We are going to end it here, and we will be back with more episodes.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So I'll see you guys in the Upside Down.
See you on the other side.
On the other side.
Ghosts.
Hello, Ghostbusters.
They're real.
You do? You have?
They're here.
We got one!
Ghostbusters.
Hey, anybody see a ghost?
They catch the ghost that won't stay dead.
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Right, that's bad. Okay, all right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
They're professionals.
Oh, I'm the chairman of the largest paranormal removal company in America.
You see it?
They're all that stands between you and the end of the world.
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the sky.
Human sacrifice, dogs in cats living together, mass hysteria.
Your girlfriend lives in the corner penthouse of Spook Central.
You want this body?
Is this a trick question? Stick.
Hold. Beat him up.
Smoke it.
Make him hard. Ready.
Ghostbusters. Starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis. Coming to save the world. Ghostbusters.
We came, we saw, we kicked it.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.